輩、消される前に警察に逃げ込んだ方がいいじゃないですか。
逃げ込んだこの野郎、一体誰に向かって喋ってんだこの野郎。
What is up, everybody? Welcome to the Trap Podcast. I am your host, Bill Botch. Glad to be back with everybody. It is Tuesday, June 4th at 7:30 p.m. And there is a lot going on in the devil's world. And I wanted to touch on some of this because I feel like the next 30 days are very important to the devil's potential future. You know, there's a lot to go over. I feel like there's quite a bit going on if you're a Devils fan. And let's just get right back to the Sheldon Keefe hiring. Since the last time we talked, Keefe has had his press conference with the ownership and Tom Fitzgerald at the Prudential Center, which I thought went really well. It was a lot of softball type questions. He didn't really get too much into depth as far as player evaluations and whatnot. But there were things that stood out to me. And there is this like new sense of hope that seems to be surrounding the Devils right now after this hiring. I know that there was debate about whether Craig Berube or if they were able to get Mike Sullivan, Jay Woodcroft. There were a couple different avenues the Devils could have went when trying to hire a new head coach. And while I think a lot of us were on the Sheldon Keefe bandwagon and supporters, what I've noticed is it seems like a lot of people who were into Craig Berube have since changed their tune a little bit and seem to be happy with the hiring. Now, the thing with Keefe, obviously, is that he hasn't had success in the playoffs, although he has been a tremendous coach throughout the regular season, one of the fastest coaches to 200 wins, one of the most successful coaches in Toronto Maple Leafs history, and he was the first coach that was able to get them to win a playoff round in almost 20 years. So I do think that there is a sigh of relief amongst Devil fans, but it also seems like there's a little bit of relief when it comes to Sheldon Keefe too. You know, he talked about how he knew he was going to get fired the night before and he woke up and he was fired. And sure enough, the Devils called the same day while he was at lunch with his wife and they had a conversation. And hearing Tom Fitzgerald explain how their back and forth went is painstaking. Tom Fitzgerald is not a very good public speaker, to say the least. Apparently, there were a lot of calls back and forth, and they talked hockey for 3 hours. And there's no doubt that Sheldon Keefe is a very smart hockey mind, but I could tell you why I think that he is the best option, and I think it's a tremendous hire. And you know, like I said, like the I have hope again for the Devils after what you really, I think like this hire really made me realize how much I disliked Lindy Ruff, his coaching style in particular. So like one of the reasons that I think the Devils organization was really into Sheldon Keefe was Sheldon Keefe is a big analytics guy, and he's a guy that is going to use all that information and try to have that translate and be able to use that information to make educated decisions when it comes to his lineups and his personnel decisions. So that was really, you know, the Devils are one of the most respected analytic, have one of the most respected analytic departments out of any team in the NHL. So, from coaching and organizational standpoint, I think the two of them mesh really well. When I saw Lindy Ruff, he looked like a guy who was an old school guy who went off of his gut and consistently tried to put, you know, square pegs in a round hole. Ruff got very frustrating with his decision making, despite what the numbers said regarding defensive pairings, regarding the consistent throwing Vitek Vanacek back out there night after night after night. It's like there was really no telling him what to do. He was going to go with what he thought was right, and he was very stubborn about it. And that got really frustrating as a fan, and I'm sure it got frustrating to Tom Fitzgerald as well after building this team around him. One of the things that really is music to my ears is that Sheldon Keefe plans on getting to know the players and having them play towards their strengths. And I feel like that is something that great coaches do. And that's something that Bill Parcells did with Lawrence Taylor, and Bill Parcells did that with all of his players. And you can't turn everybody into this 200-foot defensive forward the way that he tried to do with Alex Holtz. They should have, you know, you want your players to be more well-rounded. You want them to be people that you can rely on, that you can put out on the ice in all situations. Well, guess what? Like, everybody isn't going to be a Patrice Bergeron. And I understand trying to, and for the longest time, the Devils have had these coaches who were just so strict and just so stuck in their ways. You know, before Lindy Ruff was John Hines, and he did the same exact thing. And I'm just looking forward to watching a coach play players, let players play to their strengths. You know, Sheldon Keefe is going to play a very fast-paced game, a transition game, but he's also our defensive, I bet you our defensive structure is much, much better as well. You know, he doesn't get enough credit for the two-way game that he helped build Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner into, where both of those guys have become pretty complete players for having the, you know, skill level that they both have and being known for scorers. So that to me is something that I hope to see translate to our team. I do think that there is going to be a breath of fresh air around the locker room and with our personnel. I do think that the Devils team, there were a lot of players that were unhappy with the way that Lindy Ruff ran the bench. And I've thought to myself, do you think that Lindy Ruff ever once sat down one-on-one with his players and asked for suggestions, or asked, you know, Timo Meier, you know, are you playing on, if you're playing on the wrong side of the ice and it's affecting your game that much, do you think it's a big, you know, how do you feel, or this or that? Or did he talk to Nico Hischier one-on-one and, you know, really try to build something together, take his thoughts and try to implement them to make Nico Hischier a better player? And these are questions that I've asked myself. And I don't really think he did. I think that Sheldon Keefe is going to be a guy who's obviously much younger. He's going to be looking at the numbers that he's going to get. You know, they said that one of the deals that he had when he signed with Toronto was that he had a driver, because after the games, he would look at the analytics for all the games. So he's going to be very aware of the analytic part of the game. And I think that he's going to be more one-on-one with the players, that they're going to feel heard. And when you're heard and the coach is willing to listen to what you say and give you an opportunity to do what you think during a game, and I'm not saying everybody, but I'm saying as a whole, I think that players are willing to play harder for you and will be more responsible in the parts of the game that you ask them to be a little bit better in as well. So I think there's give and take there, and I'm I really just feel like there's a whole like wave of relief amongst Devil fans since the Sheldon Keefe hire. Let's see where we want to go from here. So since then, we've also had the Rangers lose in the playoffs to the Florida Panthers in six games. You saw what Igor Shesterkin was able to do for that team. And that's something that the Devils have talked about. Tom Fitzgerald has talked about wanting to do is go big game hunting, in quotation marks, to go out and get themselves a goaltender. Well, today at the Combine, Tom Fitzgerald puts out in the press that he's willing to move the 10th overall pick for a significant piece. And everybody knows that obviously we're looking for a goaltender. And I really think that this like brings a ton of attention towards the Devils and towards this piece. You know, we've gone down this road before with Corey Schneider, and it did not work out so well. We had the 9th overall pick. And we traded him for Corey Schneider, who was 27 years old at the time, and it ended up burning us. And I think that that's not something that we can do again. You know, Tom Fitzgerald, I've criticized him a little bit because I think he's made some pretty head-scratching decisions, but he's also done some really good things. And one of the things that I hope he's doing is I hope he's learning from previous mistakes. So, you know, a lot of people were very nervous about him not picking a coach in time or waiting too long to pick a coach because they thought that maybe Woodcroft or Berube or Keefe were going to be snatched up by another team. But he waited around to get the guy that he wanted. And I think Keefe had to make sure that that was something that his family was comfortable with and whatnot. But I hope that Fitzgerald is able to learn from other people's mistakes as well. And, you know, the 10th overall pick can be a very important piece to a team moving forward. I mean, that was Bo Horvat, who Vancouver picked with the 9th overall pick for the Corey Schneider trade. And, you know, when it comes to trading a pick that high for a goaltender, I feel like there's a ton of downside. I really do. I think that goaltenders are so up and down. They're so necessary at the same time. You know, you look at what Igor Shesterkin was able to do for the Rangers, you know, or even Jake Oettinger, and, you know, you go down the list, Sergei Bobrovsky, all these teams that are still in it. I mean, Skinner's not very good, but the rest of them, they kept their teams in all these series. But, like, think about the contract that Igor Shesterkin is going to be getting when he becomes an unrestricted free agent. He's going to be a $10 million goaltender, and that really ties up a lot of your cap space to be able to build a team around your net. I mean, Carey Price, look at how that situation ended up. And I worry about the Devils moving the 10th pick just for a goalie. And there are very, very few people I would get rid of the 10th overall pick for. Jacob Markstrom is definitely not one of them. You do not move the 10th overall pick for a 36-year-old goaltender who has a good year every other year. He's got a $6 million cap hit. He's signed for two more years, but he is definitely not worth a 10th overall pick. And you go down the line, it would be UC Saros, who is going to be an unrestricted free agent after next year, but he has earned himself the right to be paid like a top-end goalie. The guy has played his balls off. He's going to get paid at least $7.5, $8 million. And he deserves it. He really does. But is that something that the Devils want to do when, you know, you're going to have a Nemitz and a Luke Hughes and you got Mercer and you're going to have some other people who you're going to have to pay? That's a lot of money to get a goalie for the second half of his career. So to trade the 10th overall pick for UC Saros, unless he's willing to sign a team-friendly deal, which would be extremely, you know, The guy has played so good for so long. He's been playing to get to this unrestricted free agent state so that he can get his bag. There's no reason for him to sign for cheap now. So, I mean, you're really not trying to pay over $6 million for a goaltender. And that's what scares me. And I feel like Fitzgerald is about to make a really boneheaded move. I think by kind of airing out his thoughts at the combine publicly, his phone is probably definitely blown up today. And I'm sure there's all kinds of offers. You know, he brought up that he's looking for a forward. He brought up that he's looking for a defenseman. And his thought process is he wants somebody that's going to be able to hop into the lineup now and be able to be a part of the team as the Devils window has opened. He wasted an entire year by not getting a goaltender and waiting too long to make a coaching decision that he probably feels a little bit of pressure to go out and really get somebody super solid in net and put out winning product on the ice after he, you know, goes out and he gets the coach of his choice, which from what I've heard, Sheldon Keefe was basically like, you have to get me a goalie if we're going to do this. And respectfully so, because Keefe has, you know, dealt with the lack of goaltending in Toronto as well. He's going to have a much better defensive core to work with. You're going to have Dougie Hamilton back. You're going to have Nemitz and Luke, who definitely were baptism by fire, but they're going to have a little more experience under their belt coming into this season. So what really is terrifying to me is that the Devils make a move and they push the 10th overall pick out and they get a goaltender and he doesn't solve your problem. So, and it ends up being a long-term big contract and you get adequate goaltending. So I don't feel comfortable spending more than $8 million or $7.5 million on any goalie. I mean, UC Saros, the thing with him is he's undersized. I'm not as big into like the size of the goalie, to be completely honest with you. It just seems like a lot to spend. Now, one of the things that would be good to know is if you're going to be able to, if you expect like a Nico Daws to potentially carry the reins as your backup goaltender for the future. I thought that he played very hot and cold last year. He was coming off of an injury. He played good, obviously, a couple years back when the Devils went through all those goaltenders. But Daws is a kid who I think could find himself a role in the NHL, but we don't know at this point. So we have Jake Allen, who's going to be backup, and you're hoping, and you're hoping that you can get a 1A through a trade. Linus Ullmark is the other option. These are the top three guys that everyone's been talking about forever now. And it sounds like Ottawa is in interested in him. It seems like there's a lot of people that are interested in him. He's going to be looking for a pay raise as well. It's probably going to be somewhere in the $6 million range, which is fine. The only thing is you're going to have to give up a lot to get him. And I'm not giving up 10th overall plus in order to get Ullmark. Now, I have a couple strange things to look at here. One of the guys that was brought up today was Charlie Lindgren from the Washington Capitals. He's a guy, he's 30 years old, not a fan. I'm not into that. Another guy is Gustafsson from Minnesota. You have Wallstedt, who's going to be kind of coming up through the ranks in Minnesota, and you're going to have him available. He is making $3.75 million for the next 2 years. The other question I have, which I haven't heard anybody talk about, and it's because it's kind of a weird situation, is Spencer Knight. So Spencer Knight is 23 years old. He's making $4.5 million for the next two seasons, and he's unrosterable. And you look at how good Bobrovsky's playing, and if Bobrovsky ends up winning the Stanley Cup with Florida. He's going to be beloved and a legend for winning their team's first Stanley Cup. He's been great throughout the playoffs. He could be a potential Conn Smythe winner. And you have to wonder, I mean, I think the Panthers have like 11 unrestricted free agents coming up, or restricted free agents. So they're not going to be able to keep anybody anyway. You know how it goes when a team goes on a playoff run like this. Players get overvalued and you're not able to keep the team together. It's like Spencer Knight is a really good goaltender. He has just had a ton of issues off of the ice. And he's been in the players' assistance program for the past two seasons now. So he went in last year with obsessive compulsive disorder, which went from everything from washing his hands too much to thinking that he was sick all the time and ill. Sounds like he has, you know, some serious mental illness that he's dealing with. And I wish him all the best because he's been phenomenal at every, you know, as he's come up to where he is today, he's been phenomenal at every point in his career. And he's a guy where I could see Florida trying to unload him. There would be a ton of risk involved, obviously. And I don't know if that's something that this team needs right now while we're trying to get our bearings and get our feet underneath us. But when you talk about extremely high quality athletes and masters at their position, there's very few out there. So I don't know if there's a way to dig into him and see if there is an opportunity there, but he's somebody that if I was Tom Fitzgerald, and depending on how desperate Florida was to open up cap space in order to keep some of their players like a Sam Bennett and they got Reinhardt coming up, I could see them potentially wanting to get him off the books. You know what I mean? So, that's something that's kind of stuck out to me a little bit. So basically what I'm saying is I don't really feel comfortable with the Devils moving the 10th pick for anybody, which not for anybody actually, because the people that it would be are not going to be available. And that would be Swayman, Sorokin, and Sorokin there, you know, he had a bad year and there was rumblings in Long Island. That's never going to happen. Swayman's never going to happen. And Askarov, and that's never going to happen either. But those are the three guys I would consider moving him for, but I just don't think and don't see that happening at any point. So, so what do the Devils do with the 10th overall pick? That's a question that is being asked, and I think you just make the pick. I do. I think there's teams that want to move down as well. And the Devils have talked about being willing to move up in the draft. And you might be able to do something like that to unload some cap space off your books. So, for instance, if the Devils wanted to maybe get out of the Andre Palat contract, you might be able to fall back in the draft and trade up with, you know, have somebody trade up. They get the 10th pick, you get the 22nd pick, whatever, and you're able to move that contract as a cap dump. So that's an option. But then if you look into, and I used to really, really, I mean, the Devils were so bad for so long. One of my favorite things to do is to evaluate young talent. And I really used to dig into it. And I haven't so much the previous couple years because the Devils have been okay, but with as much of a disappointing season as this year was, at this point you have to look at it and think, well, this is a gift. We would have never expected to have the option to pick 10th overall this year. So you really have been handed this gift that you have to make a smart decision with. And when I talk about Tom Fitzgerald learning from his previous mistakes, him choosing Chase Stillman in the first round and, you know, not knowing anything about the Danish league, literally not even watching any of his games, that's a problem. And that would be a problem. That would be something that you would think that, you know, a first or a second year general manager would make sure that he did not screw up. You don't screw up first round picks. And I thought that that was, that scared the shit out of me, if I'm being completely honest. So like that followed by a Mooka Madulin, whether that was the same draft or the previous or the next year, it's like those kinds of first round gaffes to me, you can't miss. You can't keep missing on first round picks. So you're going to have a 10th overall pick. This draft is very top heavy when it comes to, obviously Celebrini is the pride and joy of the draft, but you get down into, let's say, 6 to like 14, 15, and there's a lot of different ways that this can go. The one guy that I think you could pretty much write in is if Tej Egilna makes it to 9, I could see Calgary definitely taking him just because of his father's history with the team, obviously. But there's a couple guys that I really, that kind of stand out to me at 10th overall. And there's a lot of different ways we could go. You know, my father is really big into size, and everybody keeps talking about we need to get bigger and size and this and that. And it's like, well, sure, but some of these guys are 1 inch bigger than the other guy. You know what I mean? I think it's more about how these guys actually play the game is what makes them bigger or smaller. So, one of the guys that sticks out to me who is a big dude is Sam Dickinson. He's a left-handed defenseman from London, and he is 6'3", 205 pounds. The Devils do have a need on the left side for anybody, really. So obviously they have more talent on the right side. You have Luke on the left side, but between Marino and Siegenthaler, Siegenthaler and Ball, I do think that there is an opportunity for somebody that could play in the top four on the left side. And Sam Dickinson could be a big physical kid that you could have play over on that side. One of the guys that the Devils his name seems to be hovering around the Devils is Konsta Helianis, and he plays in the Liga. And he's 5'11", 180 pounds. He's a center, and he could be basically would take over the Mike McLeod role as third line center. So the Devils do lack depth down the middle, which has really never been a problem for us between Jack, Nico, and then you had Mike McLeod. I think that picking a center and having a really strong core down the middle of the ice is important. I think he's a good option. And then you have a couple, you have like Cole Iserman and Berkeley Catton, who are both really just basically pure goal scorers. And to be honest with you, like it seems like almost a little redundant as to what the Devils already have. And then you have Beckett Senecky, who to me, Senecky, he fits in with what the Devils kind of need. And that is a big, hulking right winger who's been growing very quickly, has a ton of skill, and can play a physical game. You know, it's funny that I bring this up because this is something that's kind of been like sticking in my craw or like, I don't know. You know, we've been talking about how the Devils lack physicality for God knows how long and how teams can't win in the playoffs if they don't have, if they don't play a heavy game. And there is no doubt about it. And here, like this is a, there's no right or wrong answer. So like, I'm not defending one way or the other. So there's no doubt about it that the game gets a lot heavier once the playoffs roll around. Now, when I'm looking at this Edmonton-Florida series, one of the things that concerns me is that this is a very copycat league. So if Florida wins the Stanley Cup this year, everybody's going to be trying to get heavier and play more physical. The truth is, there's not that many Sam Bennetts in the league. Like, there's not just like talent. There's not a ton of talented guys like Sam Bennett who play super heavy and play a super grimy, tough, physical game. Like, and you're going to have all these teams that are trying to build their organizations that way. I think that's actually what the Rangers kind of tried to do a little bit by toughening up their core. And I don't mind making moves at the trade deadline to bring in some sandpaper guys, some guys that finish checks and are going to be able to forecheck and, you know, scrap in front of the net and play through the whistle. Like, I'm all for that. That is very, very important. But if Edmonton wins and they win with their speed and their skill, I feel like that plays out a little bit better for the Devils, because the Devils are built more like Edmonton. And it's like, I don't want the Devils to completely get away from what they're trying to do. We are a very high skilled team. We played with a shit ton of speed 2 years ago. We did not play with the same kind of speed this year. And it's because we didn't have a defense that could transition the puck correctly. Like, we just looked awful all year. I don't want to see the Devils lose their identity trying to be a team that they're not. And that's why I'm happy that they didn't hire Mike Babcock, because he's the type of, that's why they didn't, holy shit. My brain sucks. That's why I'm glad that they didn't hire Craig Berube. Jeez Louise. So that's why I'm glad they didn't try to hire Craig Berube and just try to be this team that they're not. And I feel like if we see Florida push Edmonton around, then everybody's going to want to, all these guys are going to be so coveted, and we saw it happen a couple years ago. I mean, I feel like every other year teams win the Stanley Cup a different way. But you look at guys like Andre Palat, for instance. He was a guy that played very physical and did a lot of smart things. It was just hard to play against. And you need guys like that. There's no doubt about it. But I'm hoping that you could kind of groom some of these players from within. I'm hoping that that's the kind of player that Dawson Mercer could be. I'm hoping that that's the kind of player that Nico Hischier could be. Like, guys that could finish checks and play hard and get a little scrappy and get comfortable being out of your comfort zone. I think a guy like Hemenaho could come into this team, whether it's, not next year, but the following year, and kind of leave a little bit of a fingerprint on this team. But what I don't want is, I don't want them to see them just try to turn into this, just somebody that they're not. They have a good thing going. They have a ton of talent. They should use their talent. That's why I think the Keefe signing was so important, because he's a guy that's going to play these guys to their strengths. So to me, it's really encouraging. And I'm really curious to see what happens with this Florida Edmonton series. I do think that Florida has a tiny bit of an advantage, but you never know. I mean, Edmonton could be hard to hit. There's a reason that some of these guys never get hit. It was funny. If you watched in the Ranger series, too many bad plays, like Panarin just getting completely shook and making turnovers. I think, you saw that video where PK Subban called him out, just afraid to take a hit, and throws a puck off the wall, turns into a turnover and goes into his own net. I mean, but then you look at a guy like Jacob Trouba, who's his only skill set is to play heavy. He doesn't play with any skill, and he is constantly out of position. I think you have to find a good balance. And when I look at it, I see the Colorado Avalanche 2 years ago had a good balance. They had a Nichushkin, they had a Landeskog, but they also played with a ton of speed. Sam Girard and Kale McCarr and Mikko Rantanen. So I think you don't need to go out and try and reinvent the wheel and basically, just find a new identity. You just need a couple pieces. And there's a couple pieces out there that'll be available. I think a guy like Martin Hook is a good option. I'm talking like third line, fourth liner. I think the Devils should try to make a move to get Stefan Nason back. Like, he's perfect. He's exactly the kind of guy that you need. when the Devils had him on his team, they weren't ready to re-sign him. He hadn't proven himself necessarily. The Devils weren't in a position to, think about if they needed to be more physical going into the playoffs. But he's a guy that I think there could be, he could be worth taking a look at. And not to keep harping on the Hurricanes, but you know, there's Marty Natchez is going to be looking for a new home. He's a guy that has a ton of talent. So I think that there's a lot going on right now. This seems like a very, this is a crucial summer for the Devils. And I'm hoping that Tom Fitzgerald doesn't make any boneheaded decisions or knee-jerk reactions, or he has kind of put himself in a position where he feels like, I went out, I said all this shit, I said I was going big game hunting, I didn't get a goalie last year, I screwed up last year, I have to make something happen this year. And you end up kind of forcing the issue and trading away one of your really found assets for a goaltender who might hurt you long term when it comes to your cap hit. So there's going to be a lot going on between now. And I mean, you have Stanley Cup starts Saturday. It's going to play through right through the 28th is the draft. It's going to play right through then. And then free agency is on July 1st. There's going to be a lot going on. So, I think it was Frank Saravelli that said, like, don't be surprised if you see a Marty Natchez trade prior to game one, prior to Saturday. So, but Fitzy dropped the bomb today at the combine, and I'm sure he's getting all kinds of calls, and maybe that's a good thing. Maybe he has people fighting over the 10th pick. Who knows? So, and I'm sure there's a lot of young teams out there who have some good players who aren't veterans yet, who are maybe in their mid 20s, who just don't fit in with that team's timeline, and they're looking to continue to, you know, stack the cupboards with picks. So who knows? Maybe I'm sure there's plenty of options out there that we haven't thought about that might be available as far as defensemen and forwards go. But as when it comes to goaltenders, there's really not many options out there. I also heard that Akira Schmid was a little disappointed in the playing time that he got last year. Don't be surprised if Akira Schmid is definitely on the move when the Devils do, he's in the trade package for a new goalie. So, and I think Patty brought that up last time too, is that if the Devils make a move for Markstrom, he thinks that Schmidt is going the other way. I could definitely see that. That makes a lot of sense to me. Either way, it's been good talking to everybody. I'm excited. I really am super excited about this. I just feel like so relieved at this point. And I actually feel really bad for Buffalo too. Like, I feel like, damn, like, Buffalo is a team that has Rasmus Dahlin. He's one of the best defensemen in the world. They got Owen Power. They got Dylan Cousins. They got all these, you know, Devin Levi. They have all this young talent. And you're like, damn, you're stuck with Lindy Ruff now? Jeez. Like, and they're going to let it go for a couple years just out of respect to the history that Lindy Ruff has with the organization. But I just feel so relieved to, like, not be stuck in, because, like, Lindy Ruff really reminded, there was a lot of things that Lindy Ruff did that reminded me of John Hines, and they were just so rigid and so stuck in their ways. They weren't willing to listen and to really just acknowledge statistics, and it drove me nuts. But, and I'm not a huge analytic guy, like, but I do agree that you have to look at it at some point and say, hey, listen, this isn't working. I mean, you got the eye test and the analytics, and you have to merge them together. So, I think Sheldon Keefe is the perfect hire, and it just felt like such a breath of fresh air, and he seemed really happy, and I think he's really going to thrive in New Jersey, where he just doesn't have the pressure on him when it comes to the media and, you know, the Mitch Marners of the world and this and that in Toronto. So I expect big things this year, and I really can't wait for this season to start, and I'm curious to see what our roster looks like going into next season, you know. So we'll wait and see what happens as stuff starts to unfold, though. I'll be back and to talk to everybody. But in the meantime, I hope you guys are enjoying this warm weather. It's been beautiful the past couple weekends. Jersey is a beautiful place in the summer. So I hope you guys are making it down to the beach and enjoying getting out with your friends and your family. And hope everybody's safe and be well. And we'll talk soon. You've been listening to the Trap Podcast, and my name is Billy Botch. Peace.